Welcome to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
Welcome, everybody. Yes, this is the Man Up Podcast. We have a full group in here today. Probably going to be an abbreviated one. What a way to get onto iTunes, huh? I guess we're going to give everybody just a small sample. And if you are listening to us on iTunes, give you a brief little introduction. This is Man Up, the Man Up that is from Sugarland Baptist Church in Sugarland, Texas, which is outside of Houston. What we do is we have a Facebook page. We also have a Sunday school class that is men only. We're not pastors. We're just regular guys trying to make our lives better. This is an oasis for spirituality, Christian leadership, and encouragement for men. So if you're finding us on iTunes, welcome. We've recorded 23.
This will be five.
This is 25. Third grade math was always a challenge.
24.
But we're glad that you're listening to us. We are on SoundCloud, is where we have a bunch of them stored up in case we all decided to go on vacation. But what I want to do is I want to introduce the panel. What we do is we have a Sunday school lesson that we go through, and this one, the guy that we're into is called to serve. We go through the lesson on Sunday, and then we go deeper into the lesson during the podcast on Wednesday night. We also have a Facebook page at Man Up, in case you want to post any questions so you can go ahead and have them answered by the panel on Wednesday night. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce the panel first, and then I'll let them go ahead and talk about their impression of the lesson. Going to go ahead and start with our risk manager. He's also our deacon of our class, Mr. Kyle Trahan. And then next, Robert Koshu, who happens to be a world-class trainer. We call him the professor. We have a lawyer in here in case anybody gets in trouble. He's also a prosecutor, so he might put us away. We call him the judge. That's Michael Cropper. We also have an intellectual. He's a policy writer, but he's a gambler too. Even professional gambler. Mr. Steve Tisch. My name is Bill Cox. Basically, I'm just a director. I'm just a sales slug. But I love the Lord, and I love being a part of the Man Up community. So I'm going to go ahead, we're going to go around the room, let you listen to these guys so you can tell who they are. Let them give their impression of the lesson. Go ahead, we'll start with Mr. Steve Tisch.
This is Steve, yes. I guess we were doing spiritual gifts out of 1 Corinthians, correct me if that
was. Yeah, that's exactly right. What we did.
Because of Harvey, we kind of got a little... This is a great lesson. In fact, without talking too much out of school, Bill and I are kind of doing an earlier class with our pastor of education. We found out that not all the time in church do they do spiritual gifts.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
And so these I've talked in the past about. In leadership, a good trait of leadership is to be able to match people, match tasks, match people's jobs, tasks, jobs to their gifts, and give them something to succeed at. That's how I'll open. So and then
that's part of man and being man leadership. Absolutely, the judge Michael Cropper.
Right. Yes. Hi, everyone. We are looking at a lesson that, as Steve talked about, looking at spiritual gifts with individuals. Folks, all of you know, people around you are different, okay? We've got to get into this. Everybody around us is different, and if we work at the same jobs, usually we try to work together and promote our company, not promote ourselves. If we've got any type of ethics and morale and everything, Well, the same thing with the gifts. God, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord, you become a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ has many members, and all of us are different. And we are given special things, endowments, the lesson calls, that make us fit into the body of Christ and that promote the body of Christ. So we ourselves, in the gift, whatever we have, whether it's teaching, ministry, or servicing other people, other members of the body, we are to do those gifts to better our fellow members of the church, and not to be proud that we are endowed with some incredible gifts that make us above our fellow members. And that's pretty much what the lesson is about. We're going to look at that hopefully a little closer.
Agreed. And someone that probably recognizes and utilizes it more, the professor, Robert Koshy.
Yeah, hello. Glad to be back. This isn't always an interesting study, because in Baptist circles, we tend to kind of put the gifts aside. We don't want to tie, especially some of those. You know, we don't want to talk about those. But one sentence, and I really thought this was an intriguing sentence, and it really kind of goes with what Steve and Mike both said. It's actually from the book, and we're out of Connect 360. And the very first sentence in the introduction said, "The New Testament is not a research paper developed in a library. God inspired writers to address real issues and problems in the church." And it's one of those, we want to make the spiritual gifts, we want to make it an exercise. You know, to figure out, do we have that? Do we not? Do we have this? And the reality of it is, they're there for us to discover and there for us to utilize. And so it's a real problem with a real issue, not an academic exercise for us.
Absolutely.
So I think that puts us somewhere good to look at.
That's right. And our deacon who broke out his deacon book when we were going through this lesson, Mr. Kyle Trahan.
Oh, and I'm so disappointed. I ran out this morning. It's sitting on my desk at the house.
Oh,
I didn't have time. I was just looking it up to see.
Like I said, we're regular guys.
If I could pull up a list, so I'm looking for it. But yeah, when I got my first deacon book, you know, you flipping through it, you know, your first 20 minutes while somebody's talking up in the front, and, you know, one of the whole tabs is under spiritual gifts, and so there's this wonderful list with the descriptions and a couple of exercises for you to go through to kind of try and find out or hone what you have as far as that. Because, you know, we're all given different gifts, as, you know, one of you guys pointed out, we're all different. You know, so we all bring different things to the table and different abilities. It's finding those and trying to hone them so that we're useful with them.
And I really like what all of the fellows have said, and especially what Steve said. As far as men go, and this is Man Up, it's directed to men. We recognize that each of us are leaders in our sphere of influence. Whether you take that mantle or not, because you are a man, you are looked up to be a leader. And effective leadership is putting the right cog in the right place. So, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the scripture of what we are talking about, and then we'll have further discussion. This is from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 13, and then we're going to skip to 27 through 31. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given to one Spirit to drink. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those of having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. What I'm struck with is the fact that when each person is gifted. All you have to do is find it. And many times, if you look at a person's vocation, you can find it tilted towards that being their natural gift.
But they have to find it, and then after they find it, it's important for them to develop it. Mm-hmm. And that was something, you know, we've continually talked about the need that the spiritual walk in our soul is just like a muscle. We have to exercise it. And the more we exercise our spiritual life and our spiritual gifts, the more able we are to actually use them. And I think that's one thing, you know, with the gifts we have to do in addition to figuring out what our gifts are, is we have to learn how to use them.
How do gifts differ versus ability? What you just said.
Gifts
we didn't talk about that, and I want to bring that up.
Gifts are things that God innately gives us. Abilities are more things that we develop around the gifts, I think. Okay. Abilities are things. So, for example, you may be gifted as a prophet. Okay, that means you have the ability to speak the word of God. Mm-hmm. The ability to speak in public is mm-hmm. something that you can go and work on that helps you enhance your gift. But the gift of being able to share is something you have. Well,
I took these spiritual gifts, and my wife makes fun of me. And not that we always talk about women in here, but I'll go ahead and just bring this up. I took a test.
Okay.
I'm very high in encouragement, and I'm low in mercy. And my wife says that I'll encourage people to do anything, but I'll have no mercy on them if they fail.
Well, the very fact that you named this class Man Up ought to tell me.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your talent?
If you had the gift of discernment, okay, right. Some of discernment can be counseling, okay?
Yes.
So do you go develop the skills to counsel people to enhance or help your gift of discernment?
I think it comes out, I think they're connected.
I'll get beyond
gift of teaching, which I am not a teacher, it's more of an avocation. I do it here because I enjoy it and I get good feedback as to, mm-hmm. apparently I'm good at it. And so I, you know, we do the ministers, you know, how to do it better class. You know, we read about it. I continually try to work at things, you know, trying things that work. But I think because the ability come with the gift, I guess what I'm saying, mm-hmm. or at least the rudimentary abilities come with the gift. Speaking now as a writer, I could always write well. I always enjoyed reading. I always enjoyed using words, putting them together. I could always write in complete sentences. I don't always talk in complete sentences, but I write in complete sentences. And I had teachers along the way who cultivated that gift, that talent. If I switch a bit, what I found personally great about this passage, since becoming a Christian, it says you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be great at everything.
I would agree with that.
What's even better, and this is what kind of, and I think churches fall into this a bit. When I became a Christian, I wanted to do everything. And I kind of got involved in things in trying to do things I did not have the gifts for. Mm-hmm. And it really took a little bit of spiritual development to realize, hey, I shouldn't even be doing that that's only going to frustrate me. And that helped me pretty much focus my energies where my energies do their most good. That's also the important. Everybody has a role, and I think the more you work at developing your gift, you'll be able to spot the opportunities. That those opportunities will arrive because not everybody is going to have your gift. You might be unique among a group.
I think one thing about that gift, having the gift, using that gift, it gives you the stamina to continue on if you're not being successful because you recognize this gift. Whereas if you're, like what Steve said, if you're trying to do something that you're not particularly gifted at, you won't have the stamina to see it through the difficult times.
Right. Well, it's not just the stamina. It's the just innate satisfaction. So, for example, I teach our young people, our students. Now, notice how I said that. Young people, students.
Right.
6th grade and 12th grade. I, for a time, did children's ministry. God bless the people that love to do that.
I know.
I did it as a service because my children were in it. But the minute my youngest child graduated out where he didn't go to children's church and have to be in that part, I was done with it.
Right.
And you couldn't pay me to do it. Now you can get me to go on a youth trip or do a youth function any day of the week, but I think that's recognizing there is no way I won't even approach children.
Well, and I think we all have stories of this.
Oh,
like
yes.
Like when I come into church, one of the first people I see is Kyle. Kyle is on the welcome team. He's at the door shaking hands. You could not pay me to be in the choir. You couldn't pay me enough to sing in the choir. However, I'm up there, I run the soundboard, I'll run camera, I'll make sure that everybody can hear the choir.
Everybody else sounds great.
And everybody will sound great. And I'll even give them reverb.
Can't pay them enough for me to sing with you.
Right, right.
Now, this goes also, with your past, you've been a disc jockey for years, and you must have enjoyed the heck out of that being in front of people, right?
Well, and that's right, and the tech, and helping people that have the gift to stand up there and sing, or to preach, to make them sound great, and so everybody can hear it. Yeah, that is part of my giftedness, just as much as Kyle standing at the door. He obviously enjoys it because he knows everybody that comes through the door. That's part of his gift,
Absolutely.
And I know. Kyle, do you like doing that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. No,
it's just kind of the sales part of the deacon.
That is actually a gift. It's hospitality.
And it is one of those things. I mean, you say, I know everybody. Well, I certainly don't. There's a young lady that's been coming in, probably in her 30s or whatever, always comes in by herself. I've seen her talk to people once she comes in, but always by herself. Once she'd come in this past week, her name is Allison. I had no idea. I said, you've been coming in my door probably 6 months or more.
Right.
And it's, we should know. Most people know me. I'm wearing a name tag most of the time.
Right.
Actually, this is work one, but they're all magnetic. I can pop this one off and
slap the church on quick change.
Your shirts have the underlying magnet underneath.
They should,
right?
Every morning with a
different magnet. Yeah,
like couplings.
Right. Who am I today? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what you're saying, all of this fits together because if I wanted to, according to the lesson, folks, how we got into this lesson was. The Corinthian church, who Paul addresses in here, they were all bragging about their gift being more important than others. We could say Kyle's gift is more important than Bill's running the camera because we don't see him. But it's not true. It's just not true. All the gifts, no matter what they are, all fit together so that we form one body and we work together.
And I think that's maturity in the faith. And that's one thing about men. And the big thing about this class and any of you men out there listening is this: If you're awesome, you can say it. Say it in this class. Say you're awesome, because we work hard, we study hard to be awesome. We go to college, we do our best in our sports to be awesome. And then you get married and your wife says, now, don't get full of yourself. For 1 hour, you get to say and you get to be awesome right here with Man Up. And that's what it's about. It's being the leader. It's being the one that is setting the example and standing up and manning up.
Well, and there's another part of this is, as a leader, there's two pieces of this. Number one, leaders are great when they celebrate diversity within their team, and the leader's job is to broker the gifts out.
Absolutely.
To make sure that people are fitting in the right places, to find the people that can teach,
right,
the people that are willing to lead, the people that can be at the door, the people that can run sound, the guy that's willing to go hang out with young people.
Yeah, and that is an undersung job, because that's an administrative job. And you know, churches don't fall apart because of big doctrinal arguments.
Usually
they
not.
Fall apart because they have somebody in that position, I'm being really critical here, who doesn't take the time. Oh, well, Kyle's here every week. Let's assign him to do greeting. Let's assign him to print the bulletins. Let's assign.
Right.
They go to the enthusiastic
2% that does of the and, church that does 80% of the work.
And
right, that way in every business.
Yeah.
And the homeowners board. We have 7 volunteers. It's called the board. We have 1,600 homes.
Right.
We have 7 people that show up religiously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you know, so it's always going to be that way.
And I've been in churches where there wasn't much thought given to. Why are we putting that person in that particular role when we all, because then we'll talk about, he can't do it, she can't do it. Well, they shouldn't be in it. and you don't want that. A church, I mean, especially doesn't want that. You want somebody, you want to put the people in anywhere where they will succeed, because that keeps, that engenders good feelings. It keeps people activated, because you do, when you're doing something you don't like, you burn out faster.
Absolutely.
You can't because you're frustrated.
Yes,
I hate doing it. Even when you're doing something you love, you can burn out, but there are paths to renewal. That's almost as bad as having the type of argument they were having in Corinth at the time. Oh, well, I'm better than you. Yeah, I'm more important than you. Everybody's important. And so it's finding that role and then making sure they feel affirmed in that role.
Well, and I think a lot of people miss the point. Church, as in life, is a lot like a stone hitting the water. And you're the leader, you're the man, you're hitting the water. You have circle of influences that are small like rings, they're bigger rings. Also, what you've got to understand, the farther away that ring is, you need to be content with the fact that you aren't necessarily having a lot of influence in that. Be able to discern what your area of influence is and be effective in that area, and everything will work better together. I had a boss one time who was just awesome, and he told me the most effective leaders don't really lead. And I never forgot that. And he's absolutely correct. And he went on to further say, you put the right people in the place around them.
And then you get out of the way.
And you get out of the way and let them do their jobs. And you will be a more effective leader than one who is out there dragging the mule.
Well, I like to say at my office when we do manager training, because the managers will come in, I'm going to be a better manager. You don't need to be a manager. Well, you need to be a leader. You find the right people, you put them in the job, you get out of the way to do the job. And they're like, well, I have to manage them. I said, no. When you have to manage them, you manage them. You manage them out the door, because that means you have an employee in a bad job fit. And if you can't retrain them and fix them, then you manage them out. Leadership is, like you said, it's about putting the right people in the right place. And then I want to hit something real quick that Steve said. Steve said the leader's job is to put the right people, and then he kind of threw it out, and affirm them. And the affirming them is almost as important as putting them in the right place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely
affirm,
agree.
Because a lot of people who do good jobs, they don't get told they do a good job. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, it's a meme that went around on Facebook a while back. You know, I work at this really awesome place where if you do a really good job, you get to do other people's job too.
I saw
right.
Because what happens if you do a really good job, oh, well, Robert's going to get it done. We'll get that project to Robert.
Well,
Robert get it done. We'll get that one to Robert. And all of a sudden, Robert's doing 30 projects, mm-hmm. and Joe over here is doing two projects.
Well, and here's the thing, and kind of because of the social media complex of what's going on, you do something right, two people will pass your name on. If you do something wrong, 2,200 people will pass your name on, and they'll retweet it. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to wind this one up real quick. Typically, our podcasts go about an hour, but we're in this leadership session, and so we're just giving you a taste on iTunes of what the Man Up is
about. Super quick, I'm going to give a little props to our executive pastor, missions minister, education minister. What else is he doing now? Chris Curran. I glanced through the pamphlet that you guys had tonight, and mm-hmm. I saw some really cool stuff in there about adult learning and how adults learn that gets my seal of approval.
Oh, really? Okay.
I saw formative assessment, formative evaluation, and active learning. Those are terms that we throw about in the learning and development world all the time now. I was very impressed.
Okay,
I'm
professionally trained.
There you go.
Well, we're going to go around the room one more time and just give some final thoughts. And I like to mix it up a little bit, so I'm going to start and go backwards. I'm going to go with our deacon, Kyle Trahan. Final thoughts.
Well, you know, actually, Steve mentioned it, that you know, the letter is to the people there in Corinth. And their problem was, you know, they wanted to be everything. I want to be the best at it all. And, you know, we just have to remember that when you're trying to find and hone spiritual gifts, that's not what it's about. It's about finding, and we've said this throughout the whole thing here, of, you know, it's finding what's right for you, what your strengths are, and play to it, go to it, encourage it. And, you know, that goes for the rest of us, you know, that if you see something in somebody, we don't have to tell Bill he's an encourager, he already knows that. But if you see that in someone else, you know, encourage it, like you said just a second ago, giving that positive feedback really does so much for the human.
Professor.
Find your gift and exercise it and use it. It's simple as that. It really is. Do one of the inventories Bill talked about. There are all kinds of things out there to explore and find your gifts. Start with this passage. They're also listed in Rome. There's another list in Romans, another list in 1 Peter, and kind of put them all together. They develop a full list of what God intends for us to use, and use those lists and find your gift and develop it and use it every day.
Judge?
Same thing also. I encourage you to do that. If you're a new Christian, if you're new to the body of Christ, Bill always says, go find a church that teaches the Bible and get into it and get active. If you want to be out in front of people and God starts you off behind the scenes, whether it's working in the kitchen or helping with the children, do that. And find what is good for you and do it well. And if you do, you'll get out in front of people. The Lord will make darn sure He moves you into a position where either you teach or you help people and you are in front of people.
Excellent.
I guess I'll just drive that home, and you can find the list probably on the internet. There are scores of books about this. You can look through. I was looking up the chapter and verse, but I do not have it, but some of it is mentioned in Corinthians. nonetheless, especially if you're a new Christian and you're looking, well, what do I do now? If you're at a church of either 50 or even, you know, a church of 1,000 or more, chances are there's somewhere where your spiritual gifts can be applied. I'm guaranteed these are mostly volunteer organizations. You'll find it. So that's maybe your next step to identify where what the Lord, what gift the Lord has given you, and if you've got an inkling, how you can develop it and fit it into your life of faith.
And I'd like to expand on that a little bit. this filling your soul, exercising the spiritual gifts that God has uniquely given you, will fill your soul. And although the soul is an organ, it seasons how your heart, your mind, and then ultimately your hands and your feet act. It will absolutely change your life. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Man Up Podcast. If you aren't in a men's Bible, adult Bible fellowship, and they don't have one, go ahead and start one. From Sugar Land, Texas? Yeah, that's right. This is Man Up. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.